This is the Let's Talk Tribe Weekly Prospect Chat, recorded on July 20th, 2017. I am your host, Matt Lyons, and joining me as always on this Thursday evening is Let's Go Tribe lead prospect writer, Brian Heminger. Brian, what are we doing today?
Well, today we'll be talking the MLB pipeline upcoming update. We'll be talking my players of the week, answering your questions, and a couple players returning from injury. So excited to talk about that as well. So a lot of stuff going on in the Tribe system.
Always exciting. This is the time of year we covered a few of them last week, but our mid-season lists are coming out, more and more of them now. So before we get into ones that actually exist, I want to know what you think of MLB pipelines coming up. I guess it's the most popular, whether it's right or wrong, but it's the one on MLB.com, so it's the one most people know. MLB Pipeline has not released their mid-season update yet, but Do you have any guesses to what they'll do for the Indians list when it does come out?
Well, based on what everybody else has been doing, I would have to think that they'll be dropping Brady Aiken down the list. And then based on what everybody else has been doing when they announced their like MLB top 100, I'm thinking that Tristan McKenzie and Francisco Mejia are going to be shooting way up.
Do you think we might see Bobby Bradley too?
It depends. Bradley, I haven't really seen if he's been jumping up or not, like in the other lists, I think. He moved up basically because of people graduating the list on, like, Baseball America, I think, had a top 100 that he was in, like, the 80s or 70s. So we'll see. I mean, I personally think his stock has risen this season because his strikeout rate has plummeted and his powers remained about the same. But we'll see what the experts think of it.
So then moving on to one that, of course, was released, Baseball America. They did their midseason. I believe everybody is out at this point. I know for sure the Indians are. Some kind of interesting things there that happened. Do you want to go through what happened with the Baseball America one?
Yeah, I mean, it's compared to the list last year, it's relatively the same. I mean, they still have Francisco Mejia 1. They've got Tristan McKenzie 2. They've got Bobby Bradley 3. And last year they had Brady Aiken 4. Or no, they had Bradley Zimmer in there too, because for some reason their cutoff date was July 2nd and he was still qualified as a rookie at that point. So we'll just kind of ignore that Bradley Zimmer's on the list because he shouldn't be anymore. Same with like Eric Gonzalez and Sean Armstrong. But their big change was they had last year, Brady Aiken was number 4, and this year he's not even on their top 10. And then they included the Indians' first draft pick this year, Quentin Holmes, at like number 8. And they also added Greg Allen, which much deserved, although Allen hasn't done anything really to deserve it this year because of injuries.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it was last year before we had the podcast or one of the earlier episodes, we talked about how Baseball America seemed to really like Brady Aiken, even though he hadn't done anything to that point, and now all of a sudden they don't. I know we've kind of made a thing out of it. We get a Brady Aiken joke every single week, like this week at Hiram Boyd on Twitter. Do you expect more out of him next year? Is this kind of indication that maybe Baseball America doesn't, or they're at this point just waiting for him to do something until he proves that he is worth a number 4 overall prospect?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're treading water. What you want to see out of a good pitching prospect is that people are not teeing off on them and that they're striking people out and that they're not walking people. And guess what? Brady Aiken is giving up a lot of hits. He's walking more people, I think, than anybody else in the Midwest League, and he's not striking out people. But somehow, I still cannot possibly explain this. He's not giving up many runs. His ERA just dropped to 3.98 on the season, and that is absolutely insane for how many base runners he's been giving up this year. And that's something I want to talk to him about pretty soon, so keep an eye out for that. Spoiler alert. But there's still a lot of work to do with Aiken. I mean, he's still just – I mean, his last start, I think he gave up what was it? Was it zero runs or one run and then had four walks, four more walks?
It was something crazy low, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the guy still can't find his command. So you gotta, that's definitely a reason for him, for his stock to be dropping until he can figure that out.
And I think you're underselling the walks in the Midwest League. As I mentioned it in the recap today, he has 71. The next closest is 44.
Yeah.
Number, he's almost double. It's a lot. He's walking a ton of batters. He said, we've talked about it almost every week at this point, where he's had games where he's walked eight or nine batters and still walked away with like two or three earned runs. So something he is doing. I don't know if he induces a lot of ground balls. I don't know. Maybe Lake County has a really good defense.
Yeah. I watched some of the games where I see that he had a ton of base runners and didn't give up runs. Sometimes runners are getting picked off. Runners are getting caught stealing. There have been multiple double plays. So I want to like go through like specifically every one of these games and seeing how he's pulling the Houdini act.
And then, of course, the other big thing for Baseball America is Quentin Holmes, one of the Indians. Was he the first overall pick this year, or was he the second?
He was their first overall
pick. And Freeman was the second, right? I was getting confused.
So Holmes is the one. Holmes is the one with the 80 grade speed. So that's the way you remember. Is he's the center fielder with the top rated speed you can possibly have. He was the fastest guy in the 2017 draft.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty well established that Baseball America, they like the players who were just coming into the draft, the ones who are just coming out of the draft. They like the players in the lower end. I think they go more by ceiling than how close they're being ready. I've always got the feeling that like MLB Pipeline and even maybe Baseball Prospectus, they kind of weigh it evenly. But Baseball America always seems to favor the Brady Aikens, the Quentin Holmeses, who are all potential and so far haven't done a whole lot.
I would say that MLB Pipeline favors top draft picks too, more than like performance. Like, they automatically had Will Benson and Nolan Jones as, you know, two of our top prospects just because they were our top picks last year.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think about how quickly they always seem to go up there. And I'm sure Holmes will be up there on the MLB Pipeline too when that comes out.
Oh, for sure. And I would definitely grade Tyler Freeman up there. I mean, he's been like 450 in the Arizona Rookie League right now. And he was our second round compensatory pick. So he was drafted like five spots after Holmes.
Yep. So let's talk about some of the good players over the last week. You're going to be posting your, as always on Friday, the player of the week post. So who do you got coming up for the best players in the Indian system this week?
I don't have every player picked out, but one player that is absolutely 100% certain to be in my list will be Juan Hillman. He was absolutely sensational this past week. He had two starts. The first start, he went seven innings and gave up one run. And then he pitched today, and he went eight innings, no runs, no walks, four strikeouts, four hits. Longest start of his entire career. And then Ryder Ryan promptly came in and gave up three runs in the ninth inning, and they lost. It was a 1-0 game. So, Juan Hillman, he has absolutely turned it around. 10 starts ago, his ERA was over 8. Now it's down to 4.7. In his last, 1, 2, 3, 4. In his last 5 starts, he's gone 7 innings or longer in 4 of them. And, I mean, he's been sensational. So, he's definitely turned the corner. Recently. I mean, he's not striking out a ton of people. I think his season high is 9, but that's not really the type of pitcher he is. He's more of a guy that, you know, has to have good command and pitch to weak contact. And he's doing that very, very well right now.
It feels like his disappointment goes back to like mid-season of last year.
Uh-huh.
Because he was so good to start, and then he drifted off, and then we thought maybe he'll be about fine this year, and then he was disappointed then.
Been the complete opposite of last year, right, yeah. to be complete honest. Like last year, he started amazing and he went like no runs allowed for like 4 or 5 straight starts. He had like almost a 30 inning scoreless streak, and then he just fell off a cliff and just it got worse and worse as the season went on. He had a really rough stretch. He just, you know, got tired, people were saying. And then this year, it's full season ball, so now he's pitched Let's see. Last year, in total, he pitched 63 innings, and he faded down the stretch bad. So this year, he's pitched 97 innings, and he's getting stronger. So whatever he did in the offseason, his conditioning and durability is improved dramatically, and he is just getting better and better every start, which is really good to hear. Like, he could get promoted to Lake County soon if they get a spot open, because right now he is hands down the best performing pitcher in Lake County.
So who else do you got besides Hellman, who's probably got to be one of the favorites, I would think, to win the vote, but who else is going to be annihilated by Juan Hellman in the poll?
Well, there's definitely going to be somebody. I think Mike Poppy is making a good case for himself. He had some huge games this past week, hit some home runs. I believe Gavin Collins has a good shot of getting in there. And I'll have to do a little bit more research on a couple other people. But those are the hitters I'm looking at right now. But a couple things could change. There's still some games getting played right now that could affect things. Like, somebody has a monster game that could push them over the edge.
I'd also like to note that I was watching the Rubber Ducks today. I didn't see if he actually did it or not, but Mike Poppy came up to bat. And this is one of the reasons I love minor league baseball. It's so weird. But if you got to hit a section of whatever the park is at the Akron Park, they would get chicken biscuits if Mike Poppy got a hit. I didn't get a chance to see if he actually got the hit, but Mike Poppy might have won a bunch of people a chicken biscuit. So maybe that's another reason to kind of bump him up a little bit. I love minor league baseball for that kind of stuff. But one person you didn't mention, Nelly Rodriguez, over the last week. Most people, maybe it was kind of just a ho-hum good week, but he has been abysmal. And his batting average, Brian, skyrocketed from 139 to 153. I mean, he's had a hit in all but one game in the last week, a couple multi-hit games, so... Maybe
he had a multi-home run game.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Still striking out a lot, but he's gotten hits now, finally, which he's not done all season long. So maybe this is it for him, finally?
Maybe, but he's also struck out in every single one of his last 10 games.
Way to be a downer.
And that's been, like, the biggest thing that's plagued him all season is, you know, low contact rate, high strikeout rate. I watched him play... Watched Columbus lose 1-0 earlier this year, and he played a great first base, and he hit the ball relatively hard every time that he did the strikeout. But it's just been maybe like his just BABIP is insanely low, but I mean, he's also striking out over 40% of the time. So, but I will say that he is starting to hit the ball more. I think he's got a hit in, let's see, 6 of his last 7 games, which is pretty good. So if he has a huge game today, today he went 1-for-2 with a walk. I mean, he might make the list, depending. He did have an 0-for-3 in there that could skew. I mean, if his average is like 370 or higher for these games, then I'll consider it. But I'll have to calculate it.
This is kind of a natural segue into our social media questions this week, because one of the first questions is again from @HeronBoyd on Twitter. He wants to know, how far away is Bobby Bradley? I think we've talked about this maybe a little while ago, but it's worth revisiting because maybe he's a little further along. So how close do you think he is to being on the Indians?
I think he could be on the Indians next year. Like, not to start the season because he hasn't played a AAA yet, but I could see him when the Indians are doing some September call-ups and stuff that he gets promoted to AAA. I mean, he's playing good enough that he could probably do it. And then at some point – well, actually, September call-ups is like when the minor league season's over, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So. That's usually what happens. Okay. It's over, and they expand the rosters, and they bring them up.
Mm-hmm. So – I can still see him getting maybe a late promotion to AAA, and then next year he's going to be basically, depending on how he performs, they want to, after seeing what Nelly Rodriguez did this year, I mean, there was a chance that Nelly was going to be called up at some point this year if he had performed well, but they're definitely going to see if he handles AAA, and if he does, then he could get called up at some point next year, probably after the Super 2 deadline, because with this being Carlos Santana's last year of his deal, and him becoming a free agent, I mean, there's going to be a vacancy at first base. So Nelly is going to get a chance to make the team next year. And if he doesn't, Bobby Bradley might just push him out of the line. And then Bobby will have a chance to make the team at some point. So I'm intrigued by what happens. I mean, is Edwin going to have to play a lot of first base in the first half next year? I mean, what's going to be happening there? But I do think that with the Bobby Bradley's continued drop in strikeout rate, that he's going to be pushing for a chance in the majors.
You know, I do have to imagine that Bradley hitting so well is kind of a relief to maybe the Indians front office a little bit with how bad Nelly's been, the fact that Carlos is leaving from the majors. Maybe they're okay with the first base situation now, because after Bradley, I mean, who do you have for a long time? If Nelly Rodriguez is this bad, it's kind of blank at first base for quite a while. So
yeah,
I think
right
everybody's
now,
happy that Bradley's hitting.
You've got Anthony Miller at first base in Lynchburg, and he is not a prospect at all. Basically, Signar Flupstock's had to play a lot of first base, and he's basically a catcher, but they just have like three catchers in Lynchburg, so they're just giving him a lot of playing time by moving him to other positions. Flupstock's even played in the outfield. And then at Lane County, they have Tapia, who has like 20 home runs, but he's batting 220 and striking out like 35% of the time. So he is like even, you know, people were freaking out about Bradley, but Tapia is in a worse state in terms of everything else, all the peripherals, than Bradley was. And then the only real like prospect at first base other than Bradley is probably Ulysses Cantu. He's having a really nice comeback season with Mahoning Valley. He had a rough start when the Indians drafted him last year due to some injuries, but that Mahoning Valley team is, I think, scary good with the amount of prospects the Indians have on them, on that team. And Cantu is definitely one of the better hitting prospects there.
So the next question from the real Mason S kind of ties into this. He says, if Bobby Bradley comes up to Columbus soon, does that spell the end for Nelly Rodriguez? Show signs of life, but he's been bad, which we've obviously been talking about. So if Bradley comes up, I mean, there's nowhere to put Rodriguez, because you're not going to bump him up if he's hitting like 160. So what does that mean if Bradley overjumps him?
They've got DH, so that's probably what would happen, because Nelly was splitting time with Chris Colabello, and they would basically, sometimes they'd be both playing in the same game, one DH, one playing first. Sometimes they'd give the guy the night off. So if and when Bobby Bradley gets promoted, that's probably what's going to happen, because Nelly's not ready to go to the Indians right now, I'll tell you that.
Do you see Bradley at least making it to the Clippers this season?
It depends. He's never been promoted in season. He's only ever been promoted mid-season like one time, and it was only for like one or two games when he went from Lake County to High A. I mean, he spent his whole season in High A last year, even though he won the MVP award. So the Indians have been pretty careful with him and like slow and steady with his development. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I don't know if they'll even promote him to AAA this year. They might just want to leave him in AA all season and then have him start next year in AAA.
So another one from the real Mason S. He also wants to know, can Ronnie Rodriguez be a viable trade chip? Same question for Eric Stametz.
I would say at this point, Stametz is the more viable trade chip. I mean, Ronnie Rodriguez is a good player. He can hit with a bit of power, and he can play a ton of positions, but I mean, he couldn't get the Indians job out of spring training. And I mean, it's, you know, if you can't get the utility job for the Indians, I mean, how much of a prospect are you? So, and then he couldn't get it even after they sent DFA'd Michael Martinez. So, I mean, he still could potentially make it to the majors, but I don't think it'll be with the Indians. But in terms of trade value, it's very low. I think Stametz has a little bit more value after the offensive season he's been putting out, like in terms of the power he's displayed, and he's always had a major league ready glove on the infield. So Stametz could have a little bit of trade value. And then, I mean, basically, in terms of trade value, all Indians shortstop prospects at from like High A and up should have good value, because we kind of have somebody at shortstop right now.
You mean Eric Gonzalez, right? That guy at shortstop?
Yep.
So our final question comes from Hurricane Jobu. He wants to know, Martin Cervenka has quietly had a breakout season. With no other catchers not named Mejia excelling, will he move up to double A?
Well, I will have to disagree on no other catchers not named Mejia excelling. I mean, last week we were ranting and raving about Eric Haas at double A, who's leading all of double A in slugging percentage, and he's hit at least another home run this past week since then. He's got a new career high of 18, and that's just past the midway point of the season. So, Haas is definitely somebody that's raised their stock significantly. But Cervenka has had a nice season. There's actually a really nice article written about him on minorleaguebaseball.com called Hillcat Cervenka Marching Toward History, because he's out of, like, Czechoslovakia, and he'd be the first potential Czech Republic player since 1952, a guy that played for three games. So you should definitely check that out. It's on MILB.com. He deserves to be promoted, but the problem is there's not a spot for him at double A right now. Eric Haas and Francisco Mejia are probably the two best hitting catching prospects in the Tribe system right now, and they're both at double A, and they're probably not getting promoted anytime soon, because triple A is basically full of those guys that are just ready, and the veterans that we didn't even draft that are just ready the second the Indians have an injury. It's like somebody that can be called up, like an Adam Moore, an Eric Kratz, a Jeremy Lucas. So it's tough. There's like a conga line of catching prospects ready to get promoted, with Cervenka and Loopstock ready at double A, and then you've got Mejia and Haas ready at double A, Cervenka and Loopstock ready at high A, and then Lai Jen Chu ready at single A. So they're just waiting, and right now it's not happening because triple A is full. So unless they decide to let, Eric Kratz go, he's 37 years old, even though he's having a really good season. Unless they decide to let Eric Kratz and Adam Moore go, then there's no place for Cervenka to go.
Yeah, unless they're really eyeing a catcher on the free agent market they can just grab and bring in. I can't imagine they're going to let Moore or Kratz go, because catchers are not great, and they tend to get injured. So if Gomes or Perez do, I imagine one of those two are going to get called up. And we've talked about Eric Haas a lot. I don't know if he's quite a known prospect yet, like as just a general fan audience. So maybe most people think it's just Mejia, but like you said, Eric Haas is a really good hitting catching prospect right now. So it's not quite as void as it used to be at catcher, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian, that's pretty much all for our show. Do you want to spoil something you told me before the episode, a couple interviews you got coming up, or do you want to keep those as a surprise? I'll leave it up to you.
Oh yeah, I can spoil, because I expect these all to take place in the near future. First things first, I should be talking to Connor Capel very soon, and that will hopefully be on the Indians on Let's Go Tribe within the next week. And he is the only prep position player from last year's draft that started the season in full season baseball. So, and he's had a nice power showcase this season, a huge jump in home runs. Not hitting great, but he's leading off right now for Lake County, which is pretty good. So I plan on speaking with him, and then I've got Brady Aiken in the works. I've got Greg Allen in the works. I've got who else? Mitch Longo in the works. And I reached out to Mahoning Valley's coordinator, so should potentially have some stuff for Mahoning Valley, and then might have some stuff with even the Arizona Rookie League. I finally got a contact there, like their clubhouse coordinator or something.
Just so, somebody over there.
Yeah, I just sent an email today, so I'm waiting on a response there as well. So a lot of stuff in the works in terms of interviews. So it's been a little slow. We haven't had one since my Tristan McKenzie about 3 weeks ago, but there are more coming.
Well, Brian, thank you. And as always, it was nice talking to you. See you next week.
All right. See you next week.